Greetings, Tejo Benedict here with my man Viz. We got an emergency trade podcast going down. Eric Bledsoe going to the Milwaukee Bucks. We're going to break that down for you, and then we're going to talk about some teams that are starting hot. Is it real? Is it fake? And some teams that are starting poor. Maybe the Cavs. Is that real or is it fake? Viz, what's going down?
Not much, man. Excited to get back with doing basketball podcasts. And yeah, we talked about doing this last night, and now, you know, it worked out perfectly. This Bledsoe trade just breaks. For those who didn't see it, he goes to Milwaukee, as Tale said, for Greg Monroe's expiring and a protected first and second round pick. I don't know what the protection is, but that'll be interesting to see. For Milwaukee, this seems like a no brainer based on what that is. I mean, sure, Monroe was kind of carrying that second unit, but you can get by without that. You had Bledsoe in. You had a guy who at one time was an elite defender, and I feel like he still is. He just hasn't really tried much in Phoenix. Like, it's hard for a person to try when the team literally sends you home at the end of the games or at the end of the season last year because they don't want to win games. You know, he's been in a brutal situation for the last couple of years there. He comes right in. He starts. I don't think it changes too much for his fantasy value or anyone else on Milwaukee's, but it certainly helps the upside. I mean, Milwaukee's team, they can throw a ridiculous defensive lineup out there. All these guys have amazing reaches. I mean, Bledsoe's got a 6'10 reach, even though he's not a big guy. Obviously, Giannis, all the other ones. I mean, I don't know how high this moves Milwaukee in terms of the East, you know, the upper echelon of teams in the East, but no doubt playoff team, good chance to win a round. Who knows from there? I mean, they're not really assuming much risk here making this trade.
Does that give him a defender to throw on Kyrie? Like, can he lock him down? Like,
when he was on the Clippers, he was their lockdown guy, and he was a lockdown guy in Phoenix, too, the year they won 48 games out of nowhere and happen to miss the playoffs. Like, I think it's possible. I mean, they can throw out some ridiculous lineups. I actually hope they try Giannis at center and just see what it's like. How is the center on the other team going to stop him? If you run out of with, like, Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, and when Jabari gets healthy, you put him and then Giannis, like, what the hell do you even do against that? The way Giannis is playing.
Yeah, he is ball, and you were dead on right about him being MVP or maybe the number one overall pick in fantasy before the year. Yeah, that's got to be the route to have gone. But I have multiple questions for you on this one. How did they talk him into the protected pick, and what is it protected for?
I mean, like, that's what I'm interested to see, because that hasn't been released yet, and I'm going to keep checking Twitter while we're recording this.
Like, so one guy, like, first of all, what would it take for them? Like, why would it be? How could they talk him into making it lottery protected? And two, how would the Bucks ever end up in the lottery here?
Yeah,
and
if it's lottery protected, that's nuts. Like, maybe, like, plus
top,
like,
three?
Top three? But again, how is that even going to happen? Maybe it's a weird thing where it has to be in the top 20, or it's a reverse protected thing. I don't really know. All I saw was that the second round pick, this has to be like for a non-playoff. If the Bucks make the playoffs, they're going to get that second. Otherwise, they're not going to. It was like top 40, 70 or something. So that's going to happen. But yeah,
I saw Bill Simmons tweeted something like, if it's not protected, it could be risky. And I'm like, for what? Like, what are the odds?
I mean,
it's a top pick.
Unless Giannis gets hurt, what's the risk?
Right. I'm confused.
How it's possible. Like, if the pick is for this year, they're about 500, but the East, sure, there are some teams doing better than expected, but I mean, could we really expect all these teams to maintain it like Orlando? I don't. I feel like Milwaukee's going to end up being a 45-ish win team, possibly 50 if things break right. They make the playoffs. I just, where's the real downside here? You have between Bledsoe, Brogdon, and Middleton now, you have three great guys in the backcourt, and obviously Giannis has ascended into true superstar status. So I don't really see the downside here for them. I mean, for Phoenix, go ahead.
Do you slide? Does Bledsoe immediately slide into the starting lineup here, or who's going out? Is Snell taking a seat, or are they going to sit and bring Brogdon off the bench, or can Bledsoe be kind of like a super sub? I kind of like that idea as well.
Yeah, I don't know what their plan's going to be. Like, I think Snell should probably stay in the starting lineup only because he's a low usage guy, and that's fine when you have Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe out there. You can stand in the corner, shoot his threes, play good D, and that's it. I kind of like the idea of, man, it's tough because Middleton, they don't really have anyone else to play small forward right now. That's part of the problem too. Like their options are extremely limited. Depending how they want to do it, I mean, you could technically put Giannis. You can put Giannis wherever. He can play any of these positions, and they'll be fine. My guess is they put Brogdon off the bench, but I don't know. It's a really good question. I mean, they've given no indication yet. They haven't even officially announced a trade while they're doing this, but. I mean, I think at the end of the game, you might see all of them out there. It's hard to say. You know, are they going to play Thon McCurr more minutes now with Monroe gone? Are they going to play Henson more minutes now? Or are they just going to play Giannis at center, which I think is super interesting. I mean, maybe they have some offensive units off the bench where, like, Toledovic plays center, but that would be kind of crazy. I would play Giannis there some and see what other teams do to stop it.
Has McCurr been grading out well, like as far as plus minus? Because every article I read preseason, you know, was basically everyone would talk about him, like, you know, his improvement would lead to, you know, them having great success. And like basically to me, other than a game yesterday where I saw he hit like three threes, like he basically seems like there hasn't been much improvement from last year, which is basically non-existent. So
yeah, I mean, I like him plenty long term, but I mean, it's gonna take a while. He's got to fill out. I mean, the way I see the Bucks succeeding in the future is you have four guys spreading out around Giannis, and McCurr can be that center that can shoot threes. He can do everything eventually, but he's just, I mean, the consistency is not there yet, which isn't a surprise. I mean, everyone considered him to be a project. I mean, you can see the signs when you watch them, but he's not playing a lot of minutes. I don't know if they're going to play more minutes now. I mean, if you were in, like, a deeper fantasy league, I would probably grab him just to see it, you know, for the upside. I mean, if he ends up playing 25 minutes, there's a good chance he's going to push over a block and a half and over a three in that time, which alone has value in the deeper leagues. I don't know. Like I said, long-term, I believe right now, I don't know how much you can actually play him because he still has these mental lapses. I haven't really looked about how their starting lineups doing with or without him on the floor. I know, you know, they're minus on the season as a team in differential. Now, granted, you don't want to go crazy over nine games, but where they are in terms of differential, it's not great being minus three on the air. But again, we're not going to overreact to a nine-game sample. Bledsoe's coming in. I mean, the division is wide open, really. I mean, the Pistons are playing well. I don't know how sustainable that is. We'll talk about them later. Same with Indiana, really. Cleveland's a mess. The Bulls are even worse than I thought they were going to be. So, yeah, I don't see any real risk here. They clear, you know, it's expiring. They lock into this team. I mean, I guess the biggest risk is this team might be in the tax next year. But whatever. If you're a contender, you have Giannis, I mean, you might as well go for it. And now you have, you know, at least a really good trio between Middleton, Bledsoe, and Giannis with the potential of, you know, if Jabari can get healthy and stay healthy, plus if McCarr can develop, you know, they have a legitimate core going forward. And, you know, sure, Boston looks great and they're a team to worry about, you know, going forward. But if LeBron leaves, you look at next year, going into next year, Milwaukee's probably would be my second pick behind Boston to win the East, you know, so I think this move really moves the needle a lot for them.
If Parker moves on, are they still in the tax, even if he bounces, or is that if they
sign? Yeah, I don't know. He's a restricted free agent, so I don't know what their plan is going to be. I don't know if he's going to just take the qualifying offer, hope to be healthy, hit unrestricted free agency, and get paid. I don't know if he's going to sign a a shorter term deal, for less money.
Because I thought he was still trying to get the max. Like, is there still like a bum ass team out there that would be willing to pay this guy close to max money?
A lot of teams really don't have the cap space, so that's hard. I don't really see
Phoenix.
Yeah, maybe them. I guess I don't know. It's a tough spot for him. It sucks for him. You know, he was gonna probably be a max player before he blew out his knee again. So the hope for him is you have a big. He comes back a couple months left in the year, finishes well, plays well in the playoffs. At that point, he's probably getting $20 million still. You know, if the Bucks offered him, it's a weird situation. We saw Embiid get this crazy contract, even though he has the risk. I don't see the Bucks putting themselves in that position, because if Jabari doesn't get healthy and they're locked in, they won't be able to do anything about it being capped out. So he is the wild card of this team, really. Makar is true to an extent, but we saw how well Jabari played at the end of last year before he blew out his knee. I mean, he was averaging 20 a game on efficiently. Sure, it's Giannis's team now. There's no doubt about that, but I think they could coexist fairly well. And the real thing to me is, I don't know, I'm not a big Jason Kidd guy. And, is he still going to play this crazy aggressive defensive system that gives up a lot of easy shots to try to risk turnovers with Bledsoe there now too? I don't know. It's one of those things I want to just watch the Bucks the next 5 games or so and see how they're looking. I mean, their offensive rating is 10th. I don't think that's really going to drop, but, they're 26th in defensive rating right now in the league. Like, there's no reason a team with this kind of length, these kind of athletes should be bottom five in the league in defense. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah, but that is odd considering this should be a defensive team and Kidd and all that and everything they've talked about. That was supposed to be kind of their forte, so that is odd. I wasn't aware of that.
Who's a bad defender on the team, like individually?
Snell's a good defender. Yeah, and he's been hurt anyway, right?
Right. He hasn't played for 4 or 5 games because of a calf injury.
I mean, I was interested to finally see Henson play again. I wondered if that guy was still alive. I was confused as to where and what he's been up to and what they're doing with him. But I saw that he's another decent defender, right? Or I saw another long defender, right? I mean, yeah, he should be. But anyway, we're in agreement that we do like the trade. I mean, this is a plus trade for Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah, I agree. There's not much downside.
No downside. What about Phoenix?
Monroe becomes fantasy. I mean, there's a chance Monroe's like the number two option in the offense, right? I mean, maybe three behind Warren, but he should see more minutes than he was in Milwaukee. He might be, I don't know if he's quite honorable in a 10-team league, but I think he's in a 12-teamer now. And then Mike James has randomly looked good for them playing. Tyler Lewis, one of these point guards, is going to be relevant for most of the year. I mean, we talked about it before the season started. Even on shitty teams, there's always a few guys who are relevant in fantasy, so I think it actually helps Monroe a decent amount.
Yeah, I always like Monroe, and I like watching him. I like his offensive game. It's crazy that a couple years ago, they're looking at him like, this guy might be like close to a max-type player, and now since the game has almost evolved that quickly to where he's like almost irrelevant. It's crazy to me. Like, I mean, is he an Enes Kanter type? I mean,
He did well last year, but, he was really good in Detroit. I'm interested to see how they use him. I mean, they got Chandler, they got Len, they got Bender and Chris. I don't know what they're going to do. All right.
They're going big. They're going the opposite.
All right, so here we go. Suns get the Bucks pick this year if it's between 11 and 16. It seems extremely unlikely. 2019, 4 to 16. 2020, 8 to 30. And then 2021, unprotected. So basically,
the Suns wanted it then.
Barring something crazy, they're not getting this pick until 2020.
Okay.
So that makes me like to trade less for Phoenix because.
So is this Phoenix gambling, like trying to play like the ping, trying to play the odds, trying to like place when the Bucks will have a bad record, like if it's possible?
I guess, what they're doing? I mean, at that point, Giannis will be 25. Like, how is?
And he's already made it clear he's not trying to leave. So I mean,
right, he's not even in his, he's not even close to his prime yet. That's the disgusting thing about what he's doing. I mean, he's
so
averaging.
So why wouldn't Phoenix just take the damn? Why wouldn't Phoenix just want the pick as soon as possible? Then and just like, I don't know.
It seems. I mean, maybe that's all they could get. I don't know, but that's just bizarre to me. Like, it's great for the Bucks because they can still add these guys for the next 2 years. You know, and then at that point, do they need more young guys? I mean, I guess that's the one thing with Phoenix, right? They have so many young guys already.
Right.
You have Jackson. They drafted Bender and Chris last year. Ulis, too. They're going to have their own first this year, which, you know, I said before the year they were going to have the worst record in the league, partially because they're in the West. I don't know if I would go that far anymore, but it should be a top five pick, close to it. Maybe you don't need the other young guy just yet, but Phoenix is a mess. I mean, at least these other teams, you look at the other teams who've done poorly to start the year, you know, at least Markkanen's looked really good for the Bulls, better than I would have thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, we look kind of dumb on that one. I mean, he's looking
I feel like everybody did, though. Like, Dennis Smith has looked good. De'Aaron Fox. I guess the Hawks belong in the same category. Like, who looks that good on the Suns? I mean, Booker. But Booker has plenty of flaws, too, so the Suns are.
Yeah, the Suns really need.
They got a long way to go still, is basically what I'm getting at.
The Suns really need Booker and Jackson to become like all star, superstar type players, and we don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I mean, that's what they need to happen for them to become relevant in the next 3 years, if so. Because Chris to me seems not like a total lost cause, but I don't see him ever developing into a star player. Just I don't think
no,
mentally he
I
has
don't think it. I think we can close the book on both him and Bender both being a star player. I think Bender,
he's interesting.
Bender should at least be a rotation player, and I think we haven't even talked about them firing Earl Watson since we did the last podcast after three games. But Bender's starting to play more, and he looks more like he belongs. I mean, the numbers aren't there yet, but at least he's playing 21 minutes. It doesn't look out of place. He's still only 19 years old, too. He was the youngest player in his draft last year by a mile. I still have more hope for him, I guess, than I do for Chris. I'm interested to see.
He's an interesting player. He's got a nice skill set. I kind of like him. We'll see what happens there.
For sure. It's just it's so hard to judge these guys when you're playing on a team that's so bad and playing for nothing, whether they actually can contribute to winning basketball or not.
But I mean, they've played okay. How embarrassing is this for Earl Watson? What the fuck? Well,
yeah,
he looks like an absolute chump.
They're 4-4 since they got rid of him, and
I mean, good
honestly,
God.
Like a lot of it was like a lot of a lack of effort. If you look at
Jesus
from the first game of the year, they're playing the Blazers. They don't have McCollum because he had a one game suspension for coming off the bench, and they lost by 50. Blown out of the water for no 124-76. They lost by 48 points, and then two games later, they lost by 42 points.
I mean, one, it looked bad for Bledsoe because they played so much better without him. But then, yeah, even more so on the coach because, I mean, 100%. They were just getting destroyed. And then he comes back and they're just a competent team all of a sudden. It's like, okay, what's going on here?
That team, I don't see any path for them to be even, like, pushing the playoffs within definitely the next 2 years, probably 3 years. It's just they got a long way to go. We can move on now. Let's look at some teams that are doing better than people expected. I think the first team you got to look at is Boston. I mean, Hayward gets hurt 5 minutes into the season. Looks like their year is just destroyed right there in the first quarter of the season. And here they are ripping off 9 wins in a row now at the best defensive rating in the NBA by a fairly decent margin. You know, they're 12th in the league in offense, which probably is about right. Have you seen any of them? And what do you make of, you know, what they're doing with Kyrie there now and, you know, Jaylen Brown and Tatum playing over 30 minutes a game? Celtics?
Yeah, they're an interesting team. Like, you know, I was kind of surprised. I was watching the game. I haven't watched them a ton. I mean, I watched the opening game against Cleveland, which they lost. And then I watched some of the game the other day against the Thunder. I watched most of that game, which the Thunder were blowing them out. Kyrie was doing nothing in the first half. I'm on Twitter like, oh, yeah, Kyrie doesn't want no parts of Westbrook and all this. And then he starts balling in the second half, getting crazy. So, but he hadn't really had any, like, you know, 30-plus, 40-point games. I know last night he had, what, 35 or something like that.
Yeah, but it feels like he can explode at any time, but he really hasn't. But
yeah, Horford has been unconscious the last couple games.
They already have a great chemistry in the pick and roll, but, you know, that's kind of the important thing. You know, I've been looking at some stuff, and having players, the guys who average 20 points, guys who give you 20, 20, 24, 17 guys, you know, they're right around 20 consistently, are way better for you to have than guys who go 35, 15, 10, 20. Like, Kyrie has given them 22, 17, 21, 20, 24, 24, 24. Like, he's had one game below 17 points all year. The consistency is there, and that's what you need. Like, that's part of the reason you look at players' variance, and Anthony Davis has by far the widest variance in terms of scoring out of anyone in the league. And it causes the Pelicans to go on these streaks up and down. Getting Kyrie to produce, just, you know, every night he's going to give you like 20. And relatively efficiently, too, for the most part. You know, he's shooting 46% and 35 from three, which I think will get a little better, too. And, you know, he's not getting to the line as much, but I think that'll fix itself. He always has got to the line fairly well, so.
It's kind of surprised me how they rated like they're extremely high defensively right now.
Yeah, they have the number one defense in the league, which is
insane because they switched out all their defense. This is what they said. They're like, oh, they're going from this great defensive team to all these offensive guys, and now it's like, you know, they haven't missed a beat, which is insane.
Right, it's crazy. I mean, Horford has helped a lot. Like last year, they were brutal on the defensive glass; it was absolutely awful. Now they're fourth.
Which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, like,
because they're playing small.
I get it because of the bench, like, getting guys like Baines.
Help
the bench, but.
All of Australia.
But yeah, you lose Crowder, you lose Bradley, you lose Hayward off the bat, and they're still, like, number two in net rating and number one on defense. And, I mean, Jaylen Brown has been very solid defensively. And the biggest thing is Kyrie. I mean, he's still dying on screens a lot. He always has, but he's trying more there now. And
how about Jaylen Brown? He's made it. He is. He looks like he's going to be a possible like star. Like if he continues to improve at this pace, like, I mean,
for sure.
I was kind of thrown off by the pick last year and kind of not that impressed in watching him. But I mean, God, him and then Tatum. I mean, now the Tatum move with Fultz, the weird shoulder thing, which I could talk about for 3 hours, write a book on, do a 30 for 30 on. I could do the whole damn thing on what's going on with that dude's shoulder. But I mean, Ainge is looking pretty good right now. And then without if they had Hayward, this would be
very the favorite in the East for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, they still might be able to win the East. But I would pick them to win the East. Tatum, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan coming in the draft, and he's made me look wrong. He scores. It looks easy for him to get, you know, his 14 points a night, which is huge for them. Yeah, the Kyrie Horford pick and roll, though, it's nice. And they always have five guys out there that can shoot the three at the end of games, which is so tough for teams to defend. A lot of teams like to drop their center back and kind of funnel them in. Utah does it with Gobert. They're far from the only team that does it. You know, Portland kind of does it now with Nurkic. You can't do that against Boston because then Horford's going to be open and he's shooting almost 50% from three. Granted, small sample size, but he's always been a real good shooter. He'll just kill you. So
yeah, those last couple games, he's in the zone right now. I mean, that Thunder game, he won them that game with Kyrie basically because they just kept leaving him and he just was nothing but net on every single three I saw him take.
Right.
And then I think I saw last night against Atlanta, right? It was either Atlanta or the game before where he went like 3 for 3 again from three. So he's in the zone right now.
Yeah, that was the game before. I mean, yesterday he wasn't as good from the field, but he almost had a triple-double. He had 15, 10, and 9. So
okay.
They're getting consistent output from all these guys. And, you know, Stevens is a wizard as a coach.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous. So they're in
Morris just got back, too. So it's another offensive player who somehow, yeah, again, they've got all these offensive guys other than Horford and Brown, it seems like, and they're just dominating on D. But, again, has their schedule been that time? I feel like they've been playing, like, again, people are hyped up. I'm like, man, it's Atlanta, like, last night. But then some of these games, I mean, have they beaten anybody? The Thunder win, that was an impressive win, although the Thunder haven't really meshed. But, I mean, I feel like...
I'm trying to bring up their schedule now to take a look at it before we move on to a different team. But yeah, I mean,
I guess there's just not that many great good teams, period. So I mean,
that's true too. I mean, would you pick them to be the number one seed right now, or no?
I guess I have to because I mean, Cleveland doesn't look like they're gonna do anything at least for a little bit as far, and they don't really care about the one seed anyway. So who else would it be? I mean, Washington doesn't impress me.
I still kind of like Toronto.
The Raptors? Yeah, they say the Raptors. Yeah.
I mean, they have one bad loss. They just lost to Washington without Wall. But I mean, if you look at who else they lost to, they lost at the Spurs barely.
They almost beat the Warriors on the road. Yeah, they almost won that.
Barely at Golden State. And then at Denver on a back-to-back, and then, you know, this Wizards loss was tough. So this schedule is going to have to get easier. You know, again, we talked about it in the over-under pod. We don't love them for the playoffs by any stretch, but regular season, I still think they could be there. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Celtics wins, Sixers, Knicks, at Bucks, at Heat, Spurs, without Kawhi still, and then the last one's Kings, at Oklahoma City, at Orlando, Atlanta. So they haven't... You know,
yeah, so to me, that's nobody.
Right.
The Thunder, at Thunder down 20 or whatever they were at half, that was an impressive win. I watched most of that game. That was a nice win.
But, it was, you know, after they lose the next game against Milwaukee without Hayward, you go to 0-2, and it looked like they'd be, you know, in trouble. And here we are talking about them 9-2. It's kind of crazy. We don't have to talk about every team, but let's say out of Detroit, Indiana, Orlando, and the Knicks, who do you like the most out of these teams? They're all either 500 or better. The Knicks are 5-4, Detroit 7-3, Orlando 6-4, and Indiana's 5-5. But Indiana actually, or no, the Magic have the best net rating of the group.
I don't trust them. Yeah. I'd have to lean towards, I guess, just Detroit, since I guess I like their starting five the best. Their bench, however, still, to me, is looking pretty funny in the light. Like, it's not an impressive bench. Or Orlando, I just don't have faith. And as
they've been getting shitted on the last couple of games. Like, they have upside, for sure. And Aaron Gordon's been amazing. We can talk about him later, too. But they're shooting an absurd percent from three, and opponents are shooting horrible. It seems completely unsustainable to me. You're right, though. I mean, Detroit is super interesting. I mean, Bradley's fitting in well. Drummond is actually hitting.
What about Drummond? The free throws. It's incredible.
So crazy. He's actually coming in. He's number 13 now on the player rating in fantasy basketball because he's still a minus in free throws, but it's not a big minus at all. Like, I don't know how sustainable it is. I don't expect him to steal 2.1, get 2.1 steals a game either. That seems crazy. I don't know. It's a bigger surprise. Him shooting 70% from the line or averaging 2.7 assists a game too. This is the guy usually the ball went to die. He didn't even average an assist a game. And
he's the new Wilt Chamberlain. You know, he's trying to be Arvidas Sabonis out here, bro. He's dropping dimes.
He still seems like tentative, like he doesn't want to hit contact because he doesn't want to go to the line still. But man, he's averaging 14 and almost 15 boards and like 75% from the line. It's crazy.
This be a lesson to Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan. Just takes practice, man. There's nothing that can't be done with a little practice.
Gobert came in the league shooting 50%. He's at 72 now. Like, it's not impossible. And I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't have the time or the resources to actually study this, but Drummond's literally just dribbling at once and shooting. And I feel like a lot of these guys dribble the ball 10 times and then they shoot. And I feel like that gives him more time to get in his head. If you just go quickly, Drummond's just shooting right away, not thinking about it. And I don't know. He doesn't have the time to be nervous about it, and he's making them. I don't know, but.
But yeah, Avery Bradley is a really good player. I mean, he's been a nice addition. Obviously, Reggie Jackson doesn't. I mean, he seems maybe better than last year, which is impossible not to be worse than last right, year. But I mean, he hasn't been great by any means.
No, and Stanley Johnson was giving him decent minutes too. But you're right. I mean, the rest of this team is just ugly. I mean, I kind of like Luke Kennard long term, but he's shooting 12.5% from three right now. They're not getting anything from
him. And what are his minutes? Like, this is what the Detroit does. I mean, they have a high pick, so they take a white dude shooter who Van Gundy obviously is a defensive dude anyway and doesn't like these kind of guys, and then they draft him. I mean, I don't understand. When is he ever going to get on the court?
He's playing 12 minutes now. You hope it's a long-term thing, but it's been going – the minutes have been going down too. I mean, yeah, I guess he's only shot – he's 1 for 8 from three, so I don't want to put too much stock into that.
Right. Is Ellison getting any PT? I saw early in the season he had some PT early.
He's averaging like 12 minutes a game. I mean, he's doing what I was talking about with Kyrie. You know, one game his point totals last five games, 13-0, 14-0-3. You just don't know what you're going to get from him on any night, so –
I mean, listen to this roster. Boban, Marjanovic, Ishmith, Henry Ellison, Luer, Anthony Tolliver, Reggie Bullock, Eric Moreland, Langston Galloway.
Who's their best guy on the bench?
This bench, it's been like this for years. I mean, at least before when they got Morris and Tobias Harris, they had like one or two guys off the bench. Now, I mean, it's just like – I don't understand how they're supposed to compete when they just have no depth.
That's the thing. If they have – anybody on the team get hurt, they're screwed because they just don't have.
Because they lost Pope. I forgot about Pope. Yeah, they lost Pope, a solid player too.
So they just don't have like a backup anywhere that you could trust if someone gets hurt.
And it's sad because they had two high pick. I mean, they had Ellinson was a high pick, and Luke Kennard was a pretty high pick. And I mean, you'd like to think if you were getting contributions from these dudes, like you know that they you right. think you they would almost.
You don't need to be a world beater, but just
something.
Okay,
rotation players, like decent rotation.
Indiana's weird too, because they're
my boy Sabonis killing.
And Oladipo right now is where is he? He's a top 20 fantasy player so far.
He was just a bad fit with Westbrook from the jump. I mean, it's just
him just standing on the 3-point line just seemed like such a waste. Now he somewhat has that Westbrook mentality of just trying to get to the rim over and over again. They're fifth in the league in offense. I don't know how sustainable it is. You know, but they've been doing it without Turner too. So
Sabonis, legend,
good man. At least you know at center, I think there's a chance for him to be good. That's part of the tough thing though too. Like when Turner comes back, I don't know if the two can coexist. I'm sure they're going to try because they need to find out. But
yeah, they got to figure that out. But yeah, Sabonis, what is he? Is he in the top five in double doubles in the season? I mean, and he's a nice passer. I mean, I see he's cut down with Turner out. It seems like he hasn't been just standing outside in the three shooting threes like he did last year and early this year.
Right, and he's been consistent too. Just you know, 14, 15 points a night. You're right. He's averaging 10 rebounds a game. He's shooting 63% from the field, which is bonkers. You know, he stopped shooting as many threes. He's only taken. I think like two threes this year so far altogether.
Wow. Last year, I feel like that's all he did.
Yeah, he shot two a game. Or this year, he's shooting 64% from two, which is crazy. You're right, the assists are up. Man, I don't know what they're gonna do. They're gonna probably trade Thad Young at some point to see. I don't know. It's tough, but you know the trade doesn't look as much of a fleecing as it originally did. And the Knicks, too. I mean, Porzingis is just a disgusting human being right now. He's averaging
that's what I was hoping for. I remember in our preseason talk, I was like, I asked you, I'm like, can this guy be, can he take the next jump to go to 30 per game and just become a savage? And I mean, God, he's looking great. And the
Frankie
rookie.
Smokes looks like a good defender, man. Like, in every game, it's like Porzingis and. It seems like you can't do better than it seems like every night he's setting a new career high in points. He dropped 40 last game against the Pacers.
Hardaway is not looking atrocious signing.
Yeah,
I mean,
still
is it still
not
horrible?
Worth the money, but he doesn't look like a disaster.
Cantor, my boy, is balling.
But I mean, the big thing is just that, I mean, if Porzingis plays at a superstar level, it's hard to lose. You know, it's hard to not win 35 games at that point. And the East might be a little better in the middle, so 35 games. Like, I thought there was a chance like 37 wins will make the playoffs in the East this year. I don't think it's going to be quite that case. But, I mean, if Porzingis plays at this level, there's certainly a chance the Knicks could be like the biggest surprise team to make the playoffs. I mean, a lot of people were picking them to finish third last in the East behind or only ahead of Chicago and Atlanta. Like,
is Chicago the only real bottom? I mean, Atlanta should be a bottom. I mean, they've totally
They're 2-9, and I don't know. When we did the over-under, I leaned the over only because I had so much faith in Budenholzer, but
right. Man,
that talent is bad, and they don't give Collins enough minutes either. That team is just
– that's why Cleveland losing at home – some of these Cleveland games where they've been losing to these bumps like that, they lost to Atlanta at home. I'm just like, dude, that shouldn't even be possible, dude.
Yeah, we can – let's talk about them now, too, on the
good side Lord.
Of things in the East. Like, they have the worst defense in the league, and I just don't see how it gets fixed. Like, they're going to be able to score. I have no worries about that. They have another number 7 offense right now. I think that's going to even get better, to be honest. But how the hell are they going to stop anybody? Now Tristan Thompson's out like a month, which is going to make things even worse. But
what's up with him anyway? I wanted to ask you about Tristan Thompson. This guy in the finals, first of all, I hate when that extension before the things kicked up. I'm like, you're going to pay this guy what? This is insane, but then he went off or was so important for them in the playoffs when everybody got hurt and they made the finals. He looked like just a workhorse, and he hasn't improved any part of his game. Like, offensively, he's non-existent. He hasn't worked on anything, it doesn't look like. I just, like, he's still like a solid rebounder and all this stuff, but I mean, I really thought he would develop into something more than he is.
Yeah, he is. Now he's, I think we can safely say he is who he is at this point. But, I mean, the problem is you're rolling out Rose and Wade. Neither of them give a shit on defense. They're not even trying at this point. They're not good on offense because they can't space the floor either. You know, the only reason their offense is that high is because LeBron is just absurd and trapped a 57-point game, too. Like, J.R. Smith is shooting 23% from three. I mean, that's going
to be... he's one of the problems to me is J.R. Smith, dude. I mean, this guy, talent-wise, has all the skill set you want for an NBA player right now. I mean, he's always been able to, you know, he's one of those streaky dudes, but he's got a great stroke, and when he's on, he can hit anything. And then he's become fairly decent defensively over the past few years when he's locked in. But, I mean, I feel like he has passing ability, but again, he doesn't really touch, like, dribbling the ball a lot with LeBron out there, and it's just like, he just stands out there, and it's like he'll just take like 6 shots in 30 minutes, and they're all threes, and I'm just like, okay, can we do something else with this guy? I don't feel like they're using him.
They desperately need him, though, because he's the only guy. I mean, unless Shumpert can get back to okay levels, which I question. I don't know. He's the only guy who can be a plus defender that's a guard, because Rose isn't, Wade isn't, Korver isn't. And Isaiah's not going to be when he gets back either. I mean, at least he tries, but, you know, if someone switches a big guy on him, he's absolutely toast. So
yeah, Shumpert's the only defender there in the backcourt for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Smith
other
too.
Than Smith, yeah, 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 other than Smith.
But it's ugly, man. And you know, every team that gets Jeff Green gets worse. And I don't want to blame Jeff Green for this.
He's been okay. I think he's had some good game.
And he's playing 20 minutes a game, and he's playing like he was playing more than Crowder was. I don't know. Crowder hasn't been that good either, but at least I know he's gonna bust his ass out there. I don't know. This team's got some real problems. I mean, I'm not gonna say they're dead or anything. Whatever. They're 4-6. Who cares?
With Thomas come back, they can get some more interest. They can make the lineups can be a little bit more interesting, and LeBron can kick to a dude like Isaiah Thomas, who was double teamed constantly last year. Now he should have a bunch of open looks. So if he comes back, you know, that could definitely improve at least the spacing on the floor.
Yeah, I think they fully have to embrace, like, they're very close to being the number 2 offense in the league. They just have to go for it and try to be the number 20 defense and the number 2 offense, and just hope to outscore everybody, because they don't have any cap space. They don't have any flexibility at all to try to fix this roster and get someone else to be a wing defender or anything. Who they have is who they have, outside of maybe one buyout guy. So they got to try to fix it themselves. And, man, I would fully embrace just being all offense because there's no way it's going to change. Like, I don't know. I hated the Wade signing for them. I don't like Rose there either. Rose will be marginalized once Isaiah's back, and he's fine for the bench unit then. But Wade is just not good at basically anything anymore. He's not trying at all. He's killing their spacing, and he's shooting horribly from the field. Like, I just don't like him there at all. And the team is one. I'm not betting against LeBron. If you put a gun in my head and I had to pick a team right now to win the East, to make the finals, I'd probably still say them. But, man, I'm tempted to say Boston or Washington. I really am, because these issues seem real.
Yeah, it's a problem. There's no big guys. I mean, Kevin Love, we know what he is defensively, just atrocious. And, I mean, Channing Frye has aged horrifically and is not even, like, usable at this point. He can't rebound. He can't defend. He used to be a decent shot blocker in college in his first few years in the pros. But, I mean, he can't – I mean, he is just absolutely useless out there. So, yeah, I don't know how to fix it. Like you said, they're just going to have to go just full – offense, balls to the wall. What could be interesting with Thomas out there? I mean, again, this guy averaged like 30 last year. So I mean, if he can be anything like he was with LeBron doing what? Yeah, we just need Crowder and J.R. Smith to kind of step it up, get to fit, and Shumpert.
And I think there's no way J.R. is going to shoot this bad, and Crowder's the same way. He's not going to shoot 20%. I mean, he's not going to light the world on fire, but he should be able to shoot 35% from three, and JR should be in the high 30s too. I'm not overly concerned with those guys offensively. It's lowering Wade's minutes and him not throwing a temper tantrum about it, and getting Isaiah back really. And what do they do now? I mean, are they going to play Love at center more like they originally were planning on it? But I mean, now they almost have to with.
Yeah, they have no choice now, yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, you could play Chetty
Zizek. Zizek.
Oh, Zizek, yeah. I mean, I guess
he has to. I saw him in. He's been playing a couple minutes.
He played 2 minutes last game. And Osmond's playing. He played 10 minutes last game, so I guess it is going to be those two guys, I guess. Man,
yeah, it's like they've had two nice wins. I think when they've been on TV, what they beat the Celtics game one, so that was cool, and then they beat Milwaukee right on the road, and then they beat Washington on TV the other day. So maybe if all their games are nationally televised, like they would, maybe that's what kicks them into gear. But it's interesting.
Getting blown out by the Knicks and getting blown out by the Magic
and the Nets.
Getting blown out.
They
by
lost
the
to the Nets.
It's like, are you?
They lost to the Nets, who they get their pick. I'm like, dude, are the Nets going to win enough? You got to beat the Nets, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And they didn't have D'Angelo. They didn't even have D'Angelo in that game. I mean, good Lord.
And obviously not Lin either, too.
Yeah, like how is that even possible? Like even like, I mean, you could play 100 times and you should maybe lose once to the talent level is just not on it. It shouldn't be possible.
Yeah, that's just awful. You know, out in the West, there's not too much crazy going on. I mean, the Thunder are only 4-5, but their net rating is actually third best in the league behind the Warriors and Celtics. So I assume that'll fix itself record wise. I mean, Memphis is 6-4. Are you buying Memphis at all? A lot of people kind of wrote them for dead. Thought they weren't going to make the playoffs. Do you think they'd make the playoffs now, or does this not really change your thoughts on them?
I will tell you that I've always been a huge Grizz fan. I don't know if I told you the story, but I got into as soon as I started blogging, my first blogging was for the Memphis Grizzlies. Like I was there for whatever website, so I became a Grizz fan. And it was the year they were the 8th seed and beat the Spurs. So I've been a diehard ever since. But, yeah, Gasol looks, like, shredded this year. He looks like he got in the gym a little bit. I mean, he looks He looks nasty, but yeah, I don't know, man. They look pretty. They've been pretty tough, which is kind of surprising. They have Conley and Gasol, they always seem like they're competitive. That Chandler right. Parsons thing just disgusts me every time I look at the box. I'm like, so wait, this guy got a max deal and he was injured? Like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, the NBA should step in and like strip him of his contract. I mean, that's just awful. I mean, I wish the amnesty was still available to cut his ass off the team, because he can't even play more than 15, 20 minutes a game, and he's a max guy.
Right.
But I mean, no. I bet. Could they make the playoffs? Sure. I mean, I think they'll compete for the
as those two guys stay healthy, they got a chance. But I mean, they're getting really good contributions from Tyreke Evans.
Yeah, Tyreke has been going off. Tyreke's
shooting like 45% from three. I mean,
what a signing!
But I mean, he's never been a 40% shooter in any year. His career high is 38.8. So he's obviously never regressed there, but
never forget that Tyreke got drafted.
Had good wings. They've never had good wings during the stretch, unless you count Tony Allen for his defense. And now, you know, Ennis.
That's why the Parsons thing sucks.
Right, because he should have been that guy.
Because he could be the perfect just corner, just threes, like, you know, nice wing player.
He had that one game. He finally went off against Houston. He had 18 minutes. I mean, could he at least give them something for 15 to 20 minutes, like you said? I mean, he's shooting over 50% and 50% from three. So at least it's something instead of last year he never played. It's still by any stretch. But
is his injuries something that's supposed to – I thought it was only like a one-year thing, and by this year he was supposed to be like, you know, closer to his full health. Is this just what he is for the rest of the contract?
I don't know. I mean, I saw Fizdale say that he's going to continue to be rested in back-to-back, so I don't
– Jesus.
That's rough. I mean, they can get him up to 25 minutes by the end of the year. Okay, fine. But who knows if he's going to have a setback or anything, too. It's just a mess, man. It's pretty awful.
This is why Tyreke Evans was drafted ahead of Russell Westbrook.
Oh, man.
We see it.
Let's look at a few players quick before we wrap this up. We already talked about Porzingis, so we can forget about him. Some other guys, Clint Capella, top 20 fantasy player to this point. Evan Fournier and Aaron Gordon, both top 20 players. Otto Porter has been great. Out of all those guys, who do you like the most to keep up, or at least close to this current production?
Well, I think Capella will be pretty good all season, right? I mean, he's uh-huh. been looking good for a couple years now, and is a rebounding machine, and is getting a lot of the inside work, and should continue to do so. And then Paul will come back and maybe get him even some more easy looks. And I mean, I like him to be the most consistent probably. But then, you know, Aaron Gordon is a big upside guy for years, which maybe is, if he's figured it out, he's probably got the highest upside of anyone, because he's hitting threes and he's just kind of doing a little bit of everything, which is what Orlando desperately needs. So, I mean, he's probably the most intriguing of those guys to me. Capella probably being second to me as the safest option there.
Yeah, Capella is like Drummond too. He's shooting 78% from the line as we're shooting 53 this year, or 53 last year and 38 the year before. Granted, you know, it's only over 23 free throws. Who knows if it's sustainable or not? Probably not, but he's shooting 68% from the field, and he's only playing 24 minutes, which is kind of surprising. I think that might go up a little bit as the season goes on, but even if it does, right now he's averaging 12 and 10 with, you know, a steal and 1.5 blocks. That'll play for anybody. You're right. I'm with an agreement, though. Gordon is the guy. I mean, they're finally playing him at power forward exclusively. And sure, he's not going to shoot 56% from three. Nobody is. But getting 9 rebounds a game seems completely real. 19 points, a steal and a block with, you know, a 3, probably 3.5. I don't see him keeping up 2.4 threes a game. But, this Orlando gets, you know, they had all these high picks, and none of them have turned into the superstar by any stretch, and Gordon finally might be doing it. I mean, Peyton's about to come back. They've been thriving without him. Do you throw him back in that starting lineup? or no. leave Augustine there and let Peyton carry the second unit with Jonathan Simmons, who's looked really good there.
I probably wouldn't. It's just been he's been basically what everybody knew he would be from the jump. Like, he can't shoot for shit, and so he can't spread the floor. He's a nice passer, good athlete, and all that. But it's like they've been doing so much better with
Augustine
in there, who I've always liked. I never understood what he was on the Thunder. He never got any run. But I've always liked him, and they've been playing so much better with him in there. It's like you can't insert him straight back in there now. I probably wouldn't. I would maybe tinker with it. But again, Orlando's probably going to come back to reality no matter who's in there. So
right.
I
think they could put out some really good defensive lineups. I don't think they're going to stay fifth in the league in defense. But, 13th in offense, I think that sounds about right. Vucevic is shooting threes, man. And if they have these lineups, all five guys can shoot threes. I think they'll be able to maintain close to the top half of the league offense. I don't see why not. So, I don't know. Gordon, to me, he's the number 15 player right now on the player raters. I don't know if he quite keeps that up, but, I think he's a top 30 player, 35 player. I don't see why he couldn't maintain that. To wrap this up, go ahead. Bring up something you want to talk about quick.
I would like to talk about – how about – I want to talk about the Fultz thing. I don't think we haven't talked about this.
That was one thing I was going to say too.
How could they – we saw this in the preseason. I think we maybe touched on it with the shoulder thing. He had to reinvent his shot. Because his fucking shoulder, he can't lift it above to where you're supposed to shoot it. And the team and the medical staff let this guy keep playing instead of just, healing it. I'm so confused. He can't even take a jumper.
If you had a serious injury, would you want, and you had to pick one of the following, would you rather have the Sixers medical staff or the Pelicans medical staff?
Good God, dude. It's so beyond insane to me. It should be almost a bigger story than it is. He was a solid three-point shooter in college, a decent free throw shooter. The guy's got a decent stroke to him, and this guy, it can't even take a shot outside the restricted area down there. He's had to invent a whole new way to shoot, and they're just letting this guy play. They traded a first round pick to move up two spots to take this guy, and we both liked it at the time, and now I'm would they be better off, since Simmons is such a ball-controlling guy anyway, would they be better off with somebody like Smith or just anybody else? Now I'm did they totally screw this up?
I don't want to kill Fultz yet. And,
right.
Considering what Simmons has done, if Fultz was doing what we hoped, that team would be really dangerous.
Yeah, they'd be nasty.
So I still have faith in him long term. It's just a mess that this situation's happened. This rookie class is the best in a long time. Right. There are so many good players. If you had to pick five rookies so far that have impressed you the most, I'm putting you on the spot. There are five guys that come to mind.
Markkanen has been way better than I thought. So, I think I probably have to put him in the top five. Dennis Smith looks good. Tatum. I guess one of the guys that you didn't love, I think, and probably is outside the top five, would be Jackson, who went high. Was there a late first rounder who's been really impressive?
The one late guy to me has been Kuzma.
Ball's been kind of a disappointment, although, the team seems to play pretty well when he's on the court. The team looks improved, but so if he can get the shot going a little bit. But, yeah, Kuzma, yeah, definitely,
I mean,
man.
It's weird.
What a steal.
Have you watched much of the Lakers or no?
I've watched them play a few times, yeah.
It feels like can Lonzo dribble? It feels like anytime he gets any pressure on him, he just passes it right away. I don't know. I never see him use his handle. I don't know if he has a handle. It's bizarre. It was the same way in college. When they played Kentucky, De'Aaron Fox pressured him up twice, and he was just I don't want to say he was shitting his pants, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, I don't know. The passing is transcendent. There's no other way to put it. We talked about it, but it is a little nerve wracking watching him. You know, I don't want to say cave when he gets pressured every time, but he's got to get used to it because teams are going to see it and they're going to keep pressuring him.
Yeah, he's going to have to make some improvements. Yeah, Kuzma is looking just nasty. I mean, how did this guy drop to the 27th pick? Good
Lord. I don't know. I had him. I mean, he's still available in like 25% of leagues. I grabbed him. I would pick him up immediately. And the other guy, I mean, I'm biased a little bit, but Donovan Mitchell is really coming to his
own
too. He's still available, and you know, he's only owned 22% on ESPN, about the same on Yahoo. I'd grab him now. You look at his last six games. He's got four games over 17 points, three of them in the 20s. You know, the steals are there, the threes are there, shooting over 90% from the line.
He's
starting to get comfortable.
What's Hood's contract? How much longer is Hood under contract for a while?
He's restricted at the end of this year.
Okay. Is that a guy they could look to trade to try to get something for him now if they plan on Mitchell sliding into his spot, or do they want to keep
him? I would be a bit surprised. I feel like they're going to let it go to restricted free agency and see what happens and decide from there. It's a tough situation because, you know, I think Mitchell, he's playing shooting guard. He's playing some backup point guard, too, now that Exum Staley's out again. You know, I like Mitchell's a combo. And I like Hood plenty, too. And Hood's been doing all right scoring-wise. It's always been a health thing for him. When he's healthy, he's great. Not great, but you know what I mean. He's a solid player. You can count on spread the floor. You know, it's tough for him right now. He's kind of the de facto number one on the offense. But, you know, Donovan Mitchell's got the highest usage rate of anyone on the team, which is crazy to think about when you're talking about a team who, you know, was a 51 team last year with a ton of injuries. They could easily won 60 if they didn't miss every, you know, Hill missed half the season. Hayward missed 10 games. Favors basically was never healthy. And, yeah, they lost Hayward, but. You know, you figured Hood would step into the number one role, and Mitchell's taking it more and more, and he just looks comfortable. I would not be surprised at all at the end of the year, Mitchell's averaging over 15 a game. I think Hood's going to be right around there too, but I don't think they want to lock into Hood yet. I think if they could have for a reasonable contract, they would have, but he probably wants a decent amount of money. He wants to put up big numbers this year and use that in restricted free agency, but as I mentioned before, and, you know, we're months away and we don't got to worry about this now, but there are very few teams who have max cap space. So it's hard to find the team that's going to pay, that's going to pay Hood.
Yeah. It's a tough call on him because it's like, you know, sometimes he's extremely talented scorer, obviously. And sometimes he looks really good, but again, it becomes kind of difficult on when you're deciding what to actually pay somebody like that. So yeah, especially
for sure. Like, is he a really good six man? Is he actually a starter on a good team? Is, you know, it's tough to say. I mean, he's shooting 39% from three so far this year. He's always been about a break even player efficiency wise because he doesn't get to the line. That's the problem. He's got to the line last year 1.9 attempts a game. A guy like him should be getting to the line 5-6 times. He, you know, he hasn't missed a free throw yet this year. He's a guy who can shoot in the mid-80s percent-wise. If you force yourself to the line, that's just a super quick way to become an efficient player. Look at Isaiah Thomas last year. You know, sure, he was great from three last year. There's no denying it. He shot 38%. But he shot 91% from the line on 8.5 attempts. Like, that's going to – you become a good – you know, Danilo Gallinari is another guy, constantly gets to the free throw line. You become a valuable offensive player that way. It's not just being able to shoot threes or anything. You know, LeBron's been making them run in the year too. That's why right now he's the number one player on the fantasy rater, just ahead of Giannis. So it's a huge thing, and it's tougher because the Jazz are playing two bigs. A lot of the time, you know, they're clogging up the space. It makes it tougher for Hood. There's no doubt about it, but got to find a way to get to the line more than, you know, one trip a game, you know?
Yeah, he's an interesting player to me, but yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean, so many rookies in this class. It's just, it's bizarre, man. Like, you're getting decent contributions from so many guys. Like I said, Nelly Keene has impressed me. I think defensively, he's been very good already. Obviously, Simmons, too. I mean, and Tatum, we mentioned before. There's just so many guys. And it's great for the league that these so many teams got, you know, this beacon of hope with these players. Like, everyone was killing Chicago. And Markkanen, at the least, looks like he can be an offensive force.
Right.
Sure, he might never be a good defensive
player. We don't really know because, yeah, they have no depth. So, yeah, he's getting to play a ton. Right. So, I mean,
if he becomes something like Kevin Love is now, who cares? It's a very valuable player. Like, what he's doing offensively is going to open things up. You know, God forbid Chicago actually gets a point guard. What is he going to do? Because their point guard situation is as bad as it gets around the league. You know, Dylan Brooks coming from Memphis playing minutes right away. De'Aaron Fox, you know, he's not getting a lot of minutes, but he's showing a lot of flashes. You know, looks like George Hill doesn't give a shit right
yeah,
now.
Fox looks good, man. Again, I was just curious as what the Kings are fucking doing. Like, I mean, I was just like, okay, you draft Fox, who could be a star point guard, and then we just immediately block him by bringing in the vet, George Hill. Like, it's going to do – like, I just was confused as the whole – strategy here, but
I mean,
he's up to
27 minutes a game, Fox, which is, you know, that's fine. That's about where he should be as it ramps up a little bit throughout the year. And he's playing next to Hill a decent amount, but man, that team is just a we could spend forever just making fun of them. But I mean, I guess the one good thing is for them, this is the last year they have their first. They don't have it next year, so it's better for them to suck this year, I guess. But I don't know. It looked like they were starting to try to
who owns that pick?
Their drafts, but, well, it depends. That's either the Sixers or the Celtics, depending on where the Lakers finish this year.
Okay.
As part of that full state swap.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, let's call that a podcast for now.
All right.
We'll be back. We'll probably try to get going once a week now. You know, anything you want us to talk about, write in the comments section of this post at basketball.rasball.com. If you know anyone or you would like to sponsor the podcast and reach out to largely the 18 to 35-year-old male demographic, write to us in the comments section, and I'll reach out to you from there. Anything else, TL, you got? The football podcast is rolling. Hockey podcast is going. All that good stuff. Suns posting daily notes on the reg. Plenty of other basketball people writing now. So, yeah, be sure to check everything out because plenty of content. And you shape your fantasy team largely in the first month of the year, getting on top of picking up the Kuzmas of the world, the Mitchells of the world, getting ahead of the curve. And, you know, these, you know, Kelly Oubre is another guy who's been valuable. It's tough for people that don't have the time to watch every game. Well, you know, Son and everyone else, they're paying a lot of attention to everything, so they'll keep you up to date. So be sure to check them out. Like I said, you know, sorry, it's the first podcast of the year. It was tough between I went to Vegas, Tail's been traveling around. So we'll get back into doing once a week now. Enjoy some basketball. Enjoy whatever sports you also like. And we'll be back next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, Taylor.